Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 90. Wait, is it? Holy shit, episode 90.
We're approaching recorded 100.
September 24th, 2025.
Damn, we've been doing this a while. Hey now.
Hey now.
Yes.
Right. Wow. That is episode 90.
Yes. Is this for real?
Yes.
Exactly. I've been doing this for a long time now. Jeez.
Indeed. Indeed.
Seven plus? Is that how long it's been?
Yeah. 2017. Well, the end of 2017 was our first episode.
7.5 years. Wow. Wow.
And it feels like forever.
Yeah. Well, we certainly are drawing up our top five list for sure.
Yeah, top five list.
I know.
We'll I've never struggled run the out last of horror two movies, times. But the top five list is going to get to become a real challenge.
Yeah, I'm starting to struggle.
All right. Let's get started with some horror news.
Yes.
According to deadmeat.rip on Instagram, the next Ice Cream Man movie is coming.
I did not see the first one.
Me neither.
Clint Howard?
Really? Clint Howard. Yeah. He says they're working on a new Ice Cream Man movie right now, and it'll be out soon.
Was that Eli Roth working on that?
He didn't say who's working on it. He just said, follow my Instagram for details, because more will be coming.
That seems like something Eli Roth would do.
Yeah. I looked and I didn't see any other details. This was he had an Instagram posting with a video. They were doing an interview with him for some red carpet event and talking about how much they loved the Ice Cream Man. And he's like, well, we're working on a new one right now.
Nice.
And I was like, wow, that is awesome. I want to know who's sick enough. Who's the next Ice Cream Man who's sick enough to put body parts in ice cream? All right. New trailer is out for the Monster, the Ed Gein story. That's going to be on Netflix.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good.
Comes out October 3rd.
Looks really fucking good.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, it looks fucking creepy as fuck, considering the shit that fuck did.
It's
pretty wild.
Be nice one to watch for spooky month.
Yeah, and they're probably going to make a mask of it, because they showed him like wearing one of the women's faces.
Yeah, so
they can certainly make a mask out of it.
He started out by wearing his mother's face after he dug up.
So that's what it was. Yeah, so that's what it was.
Yeah. And he even showed a little scene where it was kind of like right out of Psycho. He was wearing his mother's dress, his mother's face, a wig, and carrying a butcher knife.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's going to be one hell of a flick. I'll say that much, because that guy did some terrible shit. Even if they show half of what he did.
Is it going to be a series or a single movie?
I believe it's a series, right? A series thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like Dahmer.
Yeah, they did Dahmer, then they did those twins called Monsters.
Yeah.
The Menendez brothers.
The Menendez brothers, right? Yeah. And now they're doing Monster, the Ed Gein story.
Yeah.
And that comes out on Netflix October 3rd.
I thought you said Monster, as in like that was the name of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Monster,
It's like a spinoff of Human Centipede.
Yeah.
Monster, That's funny. All right, new trailer for a movie called Scurry.
Haven't seen that.
Up on our, it looks pretty interesting. It's going to be a digital direct release.
I'm assuming it's about like rodents or something?
What was that?
About like rodents or something?
It doesn't really show. It looks like giant underground spiders.
Oh, okay. So well, at least Scurry.
If you have arachnophobia, it's going to be one that'll...
Speaking of, when the hell is that coming out?
The remake, I have no idea.
But we've been talking about that for like 3 or 4 years, haven't we?
Yeah, it might have been shelved for all I know. I don't really know.
Bastards.
This new Scurry is getting a digital and a limited theatrical release, being provided by Signature Entertainment. At its heart, Scurry is about a survival in an environment that turns against you. The idea of being trapped, isolated, pursued by something terrifying traps the primal fears in all of us, taps into the primal fears in all of us. As the director says, he wants to craft a story that, the character's emotional journeys as it is about the sheer pulse-pounding horror of their situation. Every shadow, every creak, every breathless moment is designed to pull the audience deeper into the chaos. Most importantly, he wants Scurry to be an experience one that sticks with you long after the credits roll.
Hey, you just started echoing in my headset.
I don't hear it.
I'm sorry, man. Sorry, but you have issues because you're all blurry, you're all chopped up, there's something wrong. Like, your connection is garbaggio.
Yeah, and I'm actually in the room with the Wi-Fi, too.
Basura!
Right next to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks terrible. It looks like somebody puked on your face.
That's how it looked normally, man. Come on.
It's all pixelated and shit. And now it's stuttering.
Yeah.
Damn internet. So this looks like it's going to be a pretty good little scary movie, independent film, pretty interesting. The little synopsis underneath the trailer says, your fears come from below the earth in this catastrophic survival thriller during a brutal citywide attack by monstrous force. Two strangers, a family man fighting to survive for his loved ones, and a ruthless criminal with nothing left to lose find themselves trapped beneath the ground, severely injured and with limited resources. They must navigate the dark, crumbling tunnel, desperately searching for an escape.
Hmm. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Our next story, as you were mentioning right before this, we started the podcast, Fathom Events is bringing Trick or Treat to theaters for the first time ever. If you remember, Trick or Treat was filmed in 2007, then was shelved for a year before it came to a video on demand and directed DVD in 2008. Yep. So for the first time, it's going to reach theaters in the 4K version. It was restored in 4K a year ago.
What studio did that?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head.
Wondering who shelved that movie.
Let's see.
See, we need a producer. He can tell us in our headsets.
Baba Booey.
Yeah,
Baba Booey. Let's get Warner Baba Brothers. Warner Brothers shelved it for a year. The box office, there was no box office because it did not release.
So that would be HBO, right? Warner Brothers. Yeah. Apparently they're going to get bought out soon, too, or no?
They're merging with somebody.
Yeah.
So Trick or Treat was restored in 4K last year. I don't know. I think I showed you guys. I got the 4K version with a bunch of really cool add-ons and features and a big poster from the original box art from the VHS/DVD when it came out. Very, very cool. And some video clips from the little bumpers for that Scream channel or whatever it was that old cable channel that was for horror movies only. They had little trick-or-treat bumpers throughout the year, the 1 year. It includes all that stuff. So, yeah, it was a $27,000 budget, and it was produced by Bryan Singer. So it was quite the film.
Anna Paquin worked for Peanuts.
Yeah. Well, it was early on in her career. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it has quite the cult following because it is a very good anthology series.
Even the merchandise, right? I mean, it's you see all that shit in the Spirit Halloween stores and masks and t-shirts.
So I'm excited. It'll be in theaters October 14th and October 16th through Fathom Events. Check your local listings or go to fathomevents.com or fathomentertainment.com and click on the Trick or Treat event. And find a theater near you and buy tickets now.
Yeah, I think Craig and I might go see it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I was thinking about it, too. It's playing at the It's actually playing down the street at the Cinemark here in Long Beach.
Nice.
The Long Walk gets its ending explained in this month's Entertainment Weekly. This week's Entertainment Weekly, there's an interview with the director, and he explains why he changed the ending from the book.
Ooh.
They changed it.
Yeah. The ending in the book was okay, but you know Stephen King. His endings are never fucking great. And The Long Walk's ending is no exception. The ending is not awesome. And I think I prefer the movie ending better, actually. Okay. So,
fair enough.
They certainly captured the energy, the core of what the story is in the film, and I really enjoyed it. And I think anyone that read the book will enjoy it too. And I think I might have mentioned last month, you know, one of the things about the book, when I read it, I was in high school, and I remember thinking, every time somebody died, I felt like I lost a friend. You know, reading the stories, you develop this emotional connection with each character. And as they die, it's like, what the fuck? And over the weekend, I took my daughter and my son to go see it. And they were both in tears by the end of the film because it's very emotional. It's a very emotional film, but fantastic, fantastic film.
Good.
I wanted to go see it. I've just been busy.
Well, if you get a chance, see it. If not, wait for it to come out in theater. But it definitely is a movie you should see because, like I said, it's very emotional. They captured the emotional elements. And when I went to see the premiere of it, even the studio head came out and said this is the first movie he greenlit. And he thinks it's probably one of the best movies that he's ever seen. And probably, you know, he was very excited at the fact that Lionsgate got to make this film because for 30 plus years, multiple studios have had and lost the rights to it trying to make this film.
Wow.
Yeah.
I always thought it would make a good movie.
And
it
got a thumbs up from Stephen King. He loved the ending. And when the screenwriter wrote it and asked Stephen King to review it before they made the film, Stephen King said the only change he wants is instead of the 4 miles per hour walking speed, it should be 3 miles per hour. And the writer was like, oh, okay, but the book, it was 4. He said, yes, but if you're trying to walk 4 miles per hour and have conversations and a story, it's going to be very difficult. He said, when I wrote it, I wasn't really thinking about
that. I was on coke.
He said, so they cut it down to 3 miles per hour, which I think is a really good pace. Once you see the film, you'd be like, yeah, that seems like a good pace.
So they actually kept pace with the book. That's kind of cool. Or went 1 mile less. Okay.
Yep, that's 3 cool. miles per hour.
Is he in it at
all? What was that?
Is Stephen King in it at all?
Stephen King?
No.
No.
He's getting too old for that shit.
Cameos, yeah.
Yeah. But one of the coolest things about it is... Yeah, one of the coolest things about it is when I went to the premiere, they had the Q&A with the screenwriter, the studio head, the producer. The director wasn't there because he was working on a different film, but all the lead actors were there. And they said they filmed it sequential and nobody shaved and nobody cut their hair or did anything so that you could see the wear and tear on people as they go. And he said they'd film a scene per day. Because the daylight, obviously because they're walking day after day, there's the daylight changes. So you have like a window of daylight to record each day. And he said they would walk a mile filming and then have to retake it. And they'd walk a mile back to film it again, walking another mile. He said they walked as many miles as they did in the movie. Each of the actors actually walked because of all the retakes and all that. And he said it was pretty exhausting, and the way they look all disheveled by the end is, he says, legit. It's not that, they didn't have to use that much makeup.
Nice.
Where'd they film it? Do you know?
Manitoba, Canada.
Okay. Wow.
Manitoba.
Yeah, they needed like a long stretch of road to walk on because, you know, if you're walking, I think
it was cooler for them anyway. Well, it's still warm up there, but it's cooler for sure.
Yeah.
If they're doing all that walking.
Yeah. So. Definitely check that film out. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Toxic Avenger remake comes to digital September 30th. It'll be available on Amazon to rent. And then the DVD purchases will be in a couple weeks, and then it should be on streaming somewhere thereafter. I don't know who's going to pick it up because it is really raunchy. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it.
I did not. Did you?
There is a penis scene in it that is fucking insane. Like the movie is fucking unrated and fucking insane. So
nice.
I'm not sure where you're going to be able to watch this.
It wasn't showing many places locally. That's why I didn't go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the penis scene is, I think, a good portion of why it didn't get carried everywhere. Not only that, but it is probably one of the goriest, most fucked up films I've ever seen. Like the dark comedy in this film is like of a level that even the original couldn't achieve.
Sweet.
I mean, it is fucking insane. But I loved it. I pre-ordered it on 4K, so I'm excited.
Nice.
You guys really need to check it out if you get a chance.
For sure. I'm looking forward to it.
The Witchboard remake is coming to Amazon. It's there. As a matter of fact, I checked today, and it's available on Amazon today. You can rent it for $14.99 or buy it for $19.99. Hmm. It sounds to me like it probably wasn't any good.
Yeah, so I know. I watched the original the other night just because.
Fucking great. The original is great. Yeah. Love the original.
Me too.
But I got a feeling this one wasn't that good. So I'm going to wait for it to become, you know, part of Amazon Prime or stream somewhere. I'm not going to pay $14 to rent a movie that seems to have gotten pretty poor reviews.
Same.
I know last week when we talked about... what was it? What was the theme of movies last month for the top five? I don't remember. Was it like
surreal? Shit. Surreal horror.
Surreal. Surreal. And I know Chris, you brought up Jacob's Ladder. Well, guess what? Jacob's Ladder is coming in out as a 4K restoration and will be available in theaters.
Really?
Yes, according
to... They did the remake of that movie and it stunk.
It was terrible. Did they?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so according to Bloody Disgusting, there was a 4K restoration from the original negative scanned and restored in 4K. New color grading and restoration was supervised by Adrian Lin. The project comes out from Studio Canal, was supervised by Delphine Roussel and Jean-Pierre Bonnier. The details are released, have not been revealed, but keep an eye out on your local listings because it is coming to theaters as part of the 4K restoration release.
Kasten, you're taking a leak.
And I also feel like, Chris, you were on point when you said, you know, when you watched it and you were younger, you didn't really get it. And then when you watch it as you're older, you're like, oh, fuck, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It makes more sense now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As a kid, I was like, I don't know, this movie doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to
me. Yeah, like, it's not really scary.
Yeah. New trailer up on YouTube for Deathgasm 2, Gormageddon.
Can't wait. It was really good.
Deathgasm was great. I loved it. I watch it every now and then at the Fourth Horseman. Yeah. I really like that film.
But
looks like it's the same cast, too.
Yeah, and it looks great. Even the girl came back, which is great. A few years after surviving the last demon apocalypse, Bodhi is washed up, broke, and stuck in a small town purgatory. But when he learns that Noise Quest, a Battle of the Bands competition, is coming to his town, he sees a shot at redemption and maybe a second chance with Medina.
Nice.
One problem is his drummer's missing an arm, and the rest of his band is, well, dead. Luckily, Brody still has the pages of the Black Hymn, so raising his bandmates from the great beyond is just a riff away.
Sweet.
Yeah. So
I mean, Def Leppard could do it.
Yeah. Everybody is reprising their roles from the iconic 2015 original. Milo Clawthorne as Brody, Kimberly Crossman as Medina, alongside James Joshua Blake, Sam Berkeley, and Daniel Cresswell. The sequel also introduces a new characters played by Kiernan Shamrock and Harrison Keefe and Maggie Nicole Robertson. Plus, metal musician Michael Kiche Heffy, Grammy nominated band Trivium, composed the film's original score.
Nice.
That's cool. I like Trivium.
Me too.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that, man.
Me too.
It's going to have its world premiere at Fantastic Fest in Austin, Texas, October 21st, and then heading to Spain in October and for a European premiere. And then it will be in Australia for Monster Fest on October 11th. And then it will be coming out in the U.S. sometime thereafter.
Theaters, you think, or just streaming?
Streaming, or you can purchase it in New Zealand under Umbrella Entertainment. Umbrella Entertainment makes a lot of great DVDs and 4Ks and shit. So, but yeah, so it'll be streaming. All right, Zach Cregger, interviewed in Entertainment Weekly, says that his Resident Evil movie will be an entire original story.
Sweet.
He says, when you watch it, you will be like, hey, this is very much a Zach film.
Cool.
And just that it takes place in Resident Evil world, and I don't think that fans of Resident Evil games are going to be bummed by what he produces. He says, I'm not going to steal Leon and put him in an original story. I think that would be presumptuous. But I respect the games enough where I'm going to like tell the Resident Evil story in a Resident Evil canon that still leaves everything they love intact in the games.
Sweet.
You know what I mean? I think when you see it, you'll understand how I can be obsessed with the original ideas and still make a movie that is an IP-based thing. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense now, but I hope it will once you see the film. So I'm excited for that. A good Resident Evil film, we're long overdue for something great.
For sure.
And I think Zach Cregger can do it.
It is good things.
Yeah.
New games coming out around the corner.
I don't know if you both saw Weapons, but that's another Zach Cregger film. This is
such a great movie.
I didn't see it yet. It's coming out like next weekend, I think, or 2 weeks.
Yeah. And Zach Cregger has confirmed in the same article they are working on a prequel to show the origins of GLaDOS.
I did see that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's fucking great.
Because GLaDOS is a freak.
And Amy Madigan is on board, so that's awesome too.
Yeah, she was a freak.
Dude, she was almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, I didn't know who it was.
Yeah. All right. A new trailer for a Netflix series called True Haunting is available up on YouTube. The flame master James Wan is bringing his chilling cinematic vision to real supernatural stories. It's kind of funny because there's interviews with people about supernatural events followed by directed special effects produced James Wan little visions of these stories that people
on YouTube.
That's cool.
It's going to be on Netflix. The trailer is up on YouTube right now, but it's going to be on Netflix.
Yeah. Okay. And what's it called?
The True Haunting.
True Haunting.
Yeah, it looks really, the trailer looks really great. And I'm like, oh man, this is going to be cool because you have people going, yeah, I was in this house and, you know, telling these stories. And then instead of getting a cheap reenactment, you get a fucking James Wan reenactment. And I'm like, that's pretty fucking great. I like that idea.
Hells yeah.
The first reactions to the Black Phone 2 are coming out and everything looks fucking great. According to JoeBlow.com, they posted a bunch of great collections of Twitter and X and Instagram posts of people that have seen it saying, holy crap. Black Phone 2 shattered all of our expectations.
Nice.
Imagine Sinister colliding with Nightmare on Elm Street, creating ultimate nightmare fuel. One person even said the Grabber is now officially the face of Blumhouse. Terrifying, thrilling, relentless. One person says, the Black Phone was good. Black Phone 2 is fucking great.
Nice. The trailer looks really good.
Yeah. Yeah, because the first one was really good. I was really surprised. I remember sitting down and like I rented it because I'm like, let's watch a movie. I rent the Black Phone, and my daughter and I watched it while I was baking these, and I was making some peach cobbler mini pie dessert things. And I'm watching it and going, holy crap, this fucking film's pretty damn good. Scott Derrickson makes some decent shit. So I'm really excited for this. And one last story for me, and that is the Silent Hill. We talked last week. Last month they had a teaser trailer for the new Silent Hill, Return to Silent Hill film. And they now release it on IGN.com. You can see a theatrical poster, including Pyramid Head.
And they're remaking Silent Hill video game.
Nice, nice.
It's in progress. It's in progress.
Cool. The cool thing I like about this trailer is it looks to me now that the Return to Silent Hill is largely based on the Silent Hill 2 video game, which is fucking great. I love that. It is scheduled to come out January 2026, so we're not that far away.
No.
All right, that's all I got for news. You guys got anything you want to talk about newsworthy?
No, just we kind of talked a little bit earlier about watching Alien Earth, and you said you finished it. I've loved the series thus far. I'm on episode 5. Probably watch another episode once we're finished here tonight. But
Finished the series this afternoon or this morning. I guess it was around 10 o'clock or so. Fucking great.
I agree.
They left it off on a cliffhanger. Season 2 is coming. I'm very excited for that. I think Noah Hawley did just an amazing job writing this stuff. Putting this stuff together.
Oh yeah, just the budget in it and everything. Acting is awesome, fantastic.
Effects are awesome.
The acting is awesome. The effects
it makes you feel like you're in a movie, right? It's a TV series, but it makes you feel like you're watching.
And the great thing is, it really fleshes out a greater part of the Alien universe.
Yeah, and there's a lot to unpack in that series too. Like, there's so much like sub level shit going on. Really cool.
And now you understand more. Where does Weyland-Yutani fit into this universe? And now we have the Prodigy organization. We have the others of the five. Mm-hmm. It's really great how it's kind of like a post. It's like a post democracy world on Earth, and how the five corporations came in and said, "Look, voting doesn't. Nothing gets done. Nothing gets solved." So the five came in and said, "We can fix all this. Just let us take over."
Yeah, the political subtext throughout, like, you know, and the ethical, like, you know, like questions that take place is just awesome. And I liked that the synths are like children, but they are bodies that are like adults. And you can tell as they start to like experience like trauma, they're experiencing like children.
Which is
not good.
Because they sort of are, right?
It's not good. But they have like superhuman bodies.
Yeah, they have superhuman bodies and superhuman strength with the volatile little minds of children. Especially some of them, like one of them I think was like 8 years old or 9 years old.
Yeah.
Some of them were a little older, like the one kid was 12 and all that. But
still.
That's not – wait until you see where all that leads, dude.
I already hate that
fucking great series.
I already hate the boy genius.
Oh my god, what a douche. I don't remember what episode it is, but there's an episode where he goes into a mediation with the head of Weyland-Yutani, whatever her name is, Yutani, and they're negotiating how to get, you know, she wants her species back, and he's like, well, you know, it's gonna cost you. But the conversation they had back and forth is like, I could see this as being like Elon Musk and fucking
for sure
some other fucking douchebag like Larry Ellison and Elon Musk fighting back and forth. Just throw in a couple lifetime contracts with some people, and each person that died, give me $16 billion for each of them.
Like,
what the fuck?
It's a great show.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I have.
Awesome. All right, let's move on to, I got five flicks to watch, and it's me this month. Woohoo! My five flicks are going to be on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, they added a bunch of stuff, I think.
Yeah, my my first pick is going to be Apartment A7. I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch that yet.
I haven't.
Yes.
I thought the trailer looked good. I
watched it when it first came out, when it first came on Paramount.
Fucking great. I really, really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed
it. Actually, when I first got Paramount, it popped on like the same week that I subscribed.
Is that like a Rosemary's Baby prequel? Is that what that's supposed to be?
Yeah.
With Julia Garner in it, right?
Yes.
Yep. It's a prequel with Julia Garner. It's the couple that lived in the apartment A7 before the couple that moved in that was part of Rosemary's Baby.
Okay. I remembered seeing the trailer. I thought it looked good. I just haven't gotten around to it.
It was kind of like the quote-unquote first attempt at Rosemary's Baby, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, because it was very similar to the movie, Rosemary's Baby. Yeah.
But very, very good. My second pick is Annihilation. I love that film. It's sci-fi. It's horror.
You have that one a lot.
Terrifying moments in it.
Yeah, that bear scene is like insane. You're like, oh.
My third pick is Overlord. You know, that's one that we reviewed years ago.
We saw that in the theater.
Yeah, we did. Yep, we saw that in the theater.
This one we reviewed. We watched together in the theater.
That might have been like one of our last movies we watched.
It was a fun movie. It was fun.
Yeah, and it was surprising. We did not know what to expect when we went to see it. And it really blew my mind. I remember being like, wow, what a film.
Yeah, I put it on my list. Even though I saw it, I added it to my list.
Nice. A film that was recently converted or upgraded to 4K, Daybreakers. That recently that's a good one. Went through a 4K restoration.
Nice.
That's a, great film. A really good movie, too.
Nothing like Willem Dafoe in a vampire film.
Was that 4K in Paramount? Did you notice, or
was it? Yes. Yep. Yeah. The Daybreaker is streaming in 4K.
I gotta watch it again now.
Was Ethan Hawke was in that too, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Ethan Hawke, Willem Dafoe.
It was a good. It's been forever since I've watched that one. I should check that out again.
Who's the girl in it? I don't.
It also had what's his face in it? Sam Neill.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Another horror icon.
Yep.
Yeah. Really, as far as I'm concerned, you had three real horror icons there. You had Sam Neill, Willem Dafoe, Ethan Hawke. They've all been in some really great horror films.
For sure.
And this one is no exception. A fantastic film. And then my fifth one is Event Horizon. Speaking of Sam Neill, we had Event Horizon, which is up
on. Nice list.
Started reading that graphic novel. I'm only one into it, but.
Yeah, that looked good.
It's a good prequel.
Yeah,
thus far.
Event Horizon on Paramount Plus is also streaming in 4K, so that's pretty awesome.
Wow. I gotta go rewatch all these in 4K.
Yeah. All right. Next, we have the top five list. The top five list this month is
Supernatural. Our
top five supernatural horror movies, excluding Supernatural Slashers, because we did that one previously.
I can't believe we didn't do this before.
No, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's why I keep looking through our list to refine it and see if there's ways I can break it up.
Sneak something out of there. Stuff.
Yep. A to Z. Here we come.
All right. This month it is Craig, Sal, Chris.
All right.
Top five supernatural horror films.
So there's a lot of movies that fall into this category.
Yes.
I excluded Aliens because... I think Aliens is a possibility. Not the movie itself, but Aliens in general.
I mean, I didn't exclude anything on purpose, but there's no Alien movies.
Just because it couldn't be like scientifically proven or, you know. So Aliens, I think, is a possibility.
That's fair.
Like saw an alien, a scientist would say, sure, you know, our universe is giant. And anyway, let me get to my list.
This is tough.
And I tried to pick again. I always have a reason behind my list. I tried to pick ones that were a little different, and they were different than most horror movies.
Oh, for sure.
Number five, I went with It Follows.
Nice.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Sequel coming out soon.
Really?
They Follow.
Oh, is that what it's called? Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a totally different way of
for sure. And doing, it was nonstop. Like there was never any rest in that movie. It was like relentless. Like it was just
And you were sitting at the edge of your seat the whole movie.
Right. That was the best part of it. Cause it was building tension the whole time.
Yeah. The entire time.
It didn't let you go. Yeah.
Yep.
Number four, Drag Me to Hell.
It's a fun movie.
One. Yep. Number three, The Ring. Again, it was just weird, you know, some girl crawling out of the TV and just
that part that scene is creepy. Like that one scene in particular where she's crawling out of the TV is creepy as shit.
You know, the thing that drove me the craziest about that film was that when you think that everything was going to go good because they found her body, they laid her soul to rest, everything's going to be good. Nah, fuck, nope.
Got another copy of the tape or whatever. Yeah,
she just wants to fucking kill everybody. It doesn't matter what happens with her.
Yeah. How do you remake that now, though? Since it was like a videotape, how do you?
No, I mean, you really can. That's like it's hard to make any horror film nowadays because everybody's got a fucking phone in their pocket.
Yeah. Cell phone. Yeah.
There's no more moments of isolation unless you're in the woods and out of range from a cell. No, but the thing about it is, All the phones now have fucking satellite in them too.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's like the new Scream movies have been good, but like it's not the same as you just picked up your phone rang in your house and you picked it up because you didn't know who it was or you know like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there. Yeah, all these you can see horror movies are starting to incorporate social media and cell phones.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Yep.
Remember that one where the girl was in the mini mart? We watched that one.
Oh, that was a fun one.
Your glasses.
Yeah.
And she used her cell phone, you know, for a pair of eyes. That was kind of a neat way of incorporating the new stuff. Number two, I went with Insidious.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
And my number one was The Monkey.
Ah, oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. You could have picked any movie. It's just.
Yeah.
I tried picking out like just like really off the wall kind of.
Yeah, there was a lot that we probably could have done top 10 in this one.
Yeah, Dead Silence is my runner up.
Nice, good list.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, my top 5 supernatural horror films. My number 5, Bring Her Back.
That's
I didn't see it yet. Or probably
you haven't watched that yet?
No.
Dude.
Oh, that's coming on HBO too in like next weekend, I think.
It is.
I'm gonna watch it as soon as it hits HBO.
I can't believe I forgot about that. It's not on my list, but that's a great movie.
And Talk to Me. Yeah, and Talk to Me, you could have thrown that one in there too.
Yeah. So my number 5 is Bring Her Back. My number 4, The Black Phone.
Oh, see?
That one is
a really, really great
movie.
My number 3, The Conjuring, the first one.
Yep.
The first one was so terrifying. I loved it so much. Yep.
Oh, that still
that creeps
me out.
Yeah,
that
was the creepiest one. I know.
My number 2, Talk to Me. Because really, that one is so terrifying, but then at the end, it wasn't anything you expected.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It went beyond what you expected. You're like, oh my God. That's so fucked up when you get to the end, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
My number 1, which I just watched this weekend with my son, Late Night with the Devil.
Okay.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah, that's a really good list.
Yeah. Good list. There's so many that you could pick.
Yeah,
like,
and they were supernatural, you know, in the sense supernatural kind of.
For sure.
I do have 2 honorable mentions. My first honorable mention is Terrified.
Okay.
And my second honorable mention is Prince of Darkness. I just got the 4K version of that one.
Ooh, that's a goodie. That one scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
I don't think I've seen that since I was a kid. I'm going to have to revisit that one this October.
It was religious based, and I didn't really ever believe in religion that much, but I was like, you know, this could happen because it's religious, you know. It's like,
and special appearance, of course, by Alice Cooper in that film as one of the
homeless,
the homeless
guy.
Nice, good list.
Yeah, sweet.
All right, here's mine. Again, there's so many. Like, this is the list that I picked today, and I tried to just go by ones that like left some sort of impact on me that, you know, like I could say, yeah, oh yeah, that movie like creeped me out at the time. So my number five is Sinister. The first time I watched that, I was
another goodie.
Creepy as shit.
The first film is the best film of that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, the second one wasn't terrible, but
it wasn't terrible. But the first one is one that just like. I was like, fuck, this is great.
No, I know. Yeah, it was fucking great.
And we were talking about Ethan Hawke being in like you know, a scream horror scream queen-ish kind of guy. So
Yeah.
My number four, The Conjuring, which Sal had on his list. That was a creepy-ass film. Number three, this was my top film of 2023, When Evil Lurks. That movie, man, like the first time I watched that, like there was a few times my jaw just like dropped to the floor. Like I was, damn. Number two for me is Hereditary, one that we all went and saw in the theater. There was just some parts of that movie that are just here forever. Come
on. The telephone poles, Jesus.
And my number one, this has been in a lot of my lists. It was besides being a great horror, it was just a great film all around. Is It. The remake from, was it 2019? Yeah, yeah. Was it 2019? Yeah. It was such a great movie all around.
Two
honorable mentions.
Welcome to Derry's around the corner, too.
Yeah, that comes October, 25th or 26th, something like
26th,
that.
26th, I think it is, yeah.
26th, yeah.
Two honorable mentions for me. It Follows is one of my honorable mentions. And The Exorcist. That's one that I watched as a kid and, like, growing up, like, raised religious. Like, that movie, like, gave me nightmares forever. So that's my top
five. That's one of the first movies where you read the articles about people passing out at the theater.
Yeah, you can't believe that stuff. Like,
yeah.
You know, or leaving the theater, you know, throwing up or, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, right, good list.
Nice list. Very good. All right.
Very nice.
Very nice.
All right. All right. Now we're ready for our movie review. This month, our reviewed movie is Terrified. Just a quick little summary here. We got paranormal researchers investigate strange events in a neighborhood in Buenos Aires. As directed by Damien Rugna, screenwriter Damien Rugna, production company is Instituto Nacional de Cine y Artes Audiovisuals.
Okay.
It's a genre of horror. The original language is Spanish. It originally went to streaming October 15th, 2019, and it's an hour and 27 minute runtime.
It was a good runtime, I thought.
Yep. Yeah, it was perfect, actually. It didn't go too long, it wasn't too short. And I will say, you know, just in a non-spoilery, over the top, you know, just top level kind of view of this is well paced, decent film. You know, the special effects, it was obviously a cheap budget film, but the story mattered and was good. And
they got you right out of the gate, which I thought was fun, right?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, and didn't wait very long.
This guy is the same guy that did When Evil Lurks. So, from this film, which I liked, to Evil Lurks, he took it up a notch. Like, so, like, definitely. Like, it was nice to see where he came from. Like, I was like, oh shit, like,
yep,
honed his craft basically, between the two.
Yeah, this was like him testing the waters of this kind of genre, this supernatural-ish horror genre here. Yeah.
So another subtitled film we did.
Another subtitled film,
and
in
I did
Spanish.
Apologize.
Yeah, I know. At first, I was like, another subtitled film, and I even went into the audio settings to see if there was a dub, and there was no dub. Yeah.
No, so like, and actually, I went in to see if I had to put on closed caption, and it said that it's not available for this. So I was like, I guess hopefully it's dubbed already, because otherwise, closed captioned already, because otherwise,
and they did a nice job. You didn't have to again, like, fuck, I missed what they, you know, the last two words.
Yeah.
Where did you guys, where did you watch it? I watched it on Shudder.
I watched it on Shudder.
AMC Plus, which is basically Shudder.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, AMC Plus and Shudder are basically the same thing, I guess. Like,
I thought they broke up their deal because they used to be.
No, they still call it AMC Plus.
Yeah, because I.
No, well, I know AMC Plus is like the AMC streaming service, but I thought I could have sworn that 2 years ago, Shudder and AMC separated their ties.
I don't know. Well, maybe they did-ish, but that's where I watched it, so.
But this one's sitting in my list for 3-4 years, dude. I'm serious. And I just never watched it. I was like, I got to get this out of my
Honestly, list. I actually watched this movie before and forgot that I had watched it before. And when I started watching it, I'm like, this seems really familiar to me. And it wasn't until we got to the one scene, which I'm sure we'll talk about, that I was like, I did see this movie before. I definitely did.
Yeah.
Oh, it says AMC Plus. Shudder is offered as a part of that for full access component in the AMC streaming service. Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, it's weird because my Shudder app, I don't get the live stream stuff on it for some reason. But like AMC Plus, I can get the Shudder live stream app. So, I mean, live stream stuff. So I can't figure it out. So
that's weird. I get the Shudder. I get their three live stream channels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell it is. Maybe because I have the Shudder app through Amazon and not, I don't know. So,
yeah.
So wait a minute. So you have AMC Plus, though, you said.
It says I have, yeah.
If you have Prime Video, you can add the Shudder channel separately.
Yeah, it's weird. Like I said, like, I don't know. I've just been watching all the Shudder stuff on AMC Plus because it's easier for me to get to that app than it is to get to the Shudder app.
So AMC Plus includes Shudder material, AMC, BBC America, IFC channel, and Sundance TV. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah, I mean, this film I thought was really good. There was plenty of jump scares.
Yeah, and weird jump scares too. Like they weren't like some of them that weren't like gonna be jump scares, but it's just the sound effects that they used like gave you that.
Yeah, just a warning here. What we're gonna do is gonna be a spoilery discussion from here on out. So if you wanna watch the film, go watch it and not be spoiled. If you're okay with being spoiled or you've already seen the film. All right, so with that in mind, one of the jump scares that really fucking got me, and I don't know if it got you guys, was the scene where the inspector was looking across the street where the cop was, and you could see that creepy dude in the window, and he'd go one way, and it's not then there, like, the next way it's not there, he does it a couple times, and then bam, it's in your face.
Yeah, like,
what the fuck?
That scared the shit out of me, man. Yeah. Like,
and I actually jumped at the spilt glass of milk too, believe it or not. Just the noise.
That was one like, of the kid. That was one of the ones that I jumped at too. And like I said, it was weird shit to jump to because it was just a fucking. Yeah, there was it was an ominous feeling throughout that movie. And it kept you kind of just feeling, what the fuck is going on here? You know, like.
Well, like I said, it started off creepy. Like the first thing that creeped me out was the wife, you know, she's
kitchen. Like in the drain.
Yeah, she goes to her husband, you know, I hear voices. And he's like, what's
voices in the drain?
What are they saying? They're going to kill me. And I was like, oh, shit. You know, and I was like, oh, that was just creepy.
Yeah.
And then turns out.
Oh, dude, that scene where, like, he was bitching about his neighbor, like, doing.
Yeah, he's out there hitting the buzzer going, what are you doing?
He hears a thumping, like, boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom. Like, it's like somebody's banging on the wall. Yeah, he goes over to his neighbors. His neighbor's, you know, nothing.
He ain't answering because he's buried somewhere. So he goes back in there, and his wife just inexplicably gets up at, like, 3 a.m. and goes, into the shower.
Yeah.
And so he like, you know, he still hears that banging on the wall, so he opens up the bathroom door, and I feel like that scene was inspired by Nightmare on Elm Street, the original.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, the back and forth, like, and like her face is just like,
yeah, and it was just as violent, right? Because Nightmare on Elm Street, they had all that blood, but this one was like just pounding her head up against the wall. Like,
and he's trying to stop her. I'm like, you see her feet aren't on the ground, right, dude? Like, it's not her doing it. Like,
yeah,
I felt bad for that dude.
Yeah, I mean, it did give Nightmare on Elm Street vibes, but really it was the idea of something malevolent that you can't see that's going on.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the theme that the paranormal inspectors were saying, is that depending on the perspective, depending on the way light is positioned, you can see these beings.
Yeah, because they're in
dimension.
Yeah, so like he explained it like it's an orange, and how the different pieces of the orange are touching each other, but they're, you know, segments of the same whole orange.
Yeah,
and that was the hardest part for me to like try to figure out, like, how at some points the dimensions coexisted and at other points they didn't, and how these things came out of the other existence, but like,
and how the water was involved with.
Yeah, they touched on that briefly, but
I was left off a little bit confused at how things were happening.
Yeah.
And I thought the cop at the end had the idea, let me just fucking burn the place down.
Yeah. that was a great idea, man. Just fucking burn it all. Cause at one point that one doctor says this is where they nest. And I'm like, well, are they nesting, or is that just a place where like the two dimensions are really right, like
exactly where they're close enough where they can reach into each other.
And for some reason, those beings, whatever the fuck they were like blood. So they were coming into this, to our dimension, to drink blood.
Right. But then like, I don't understand why everyone that got killed by them became like undead in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little boy, right?
That was a weird ass scene.
Yeah, even that female doctor, when the hand came through the wall and snapped her neck, and then she came running out the house with her head like fucking dangling.
Like backwards, like, ugh.
That was the thing, like,
towards the car.
Because she was telling that dude, she's like, not everything that you see is real.
It's real. Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if that was real or if it wasn't real or...
Yeah, I know.
I think that's the blending of the realities, but I don't think they fleshed that out enough to give us an idea of how that happened, which... may have been on purpose. It's creepier if you don't know why the fuck it's happening. But, you know, some of us like to know why.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good film. It was scary. It was short enough that it didn't drive me insane reading all the subtitles. But it was a little bit, like you said, it was a little bit confusing as to exactly what was going on. You just knew it was like some sort of supernatural thing. And I thought at the end that it was resolved, but then when they finally show that guy and...
Yeah,
in that room with those people, and he's like,
did he come with you?
Come with you, and there's nothing there, and then just a fucking chair comes flying at this.
Yeah, that's how that I jumped there too.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was a good movie. The length of it was good. If they would have just fleshed out some of the plot just a bit better to explain. The whatever they were too, like the other dimensional creatures.
Yeah,
they looked like big dopey humans ish, you know, and they
bald and lanky,
and they hid sometimes, but then other times they didn't, and they like the one guy, he was just kind of lumbering across the floor like nobody's business, you know, and then like all of a sudden he like moved real quick and like hid, and I was trying to figure out if it was the light that made him hide, or like I couldn't figure that out either.
Yeah, I think it was the light.
Was it the light?
Because remember, he kept plugging in his light, and as soon as he'd do that, it would, like, disappear.
Yeah, and that guy, like, he was showing, like, the one side of the bed, when he lifted up the bed skirt, there was nothing. But then if you went around the other angle, there was the feet there.
Yeah.
Because of the way that the light was.
Yeah, like almost like a prism.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, overall, it was a decent film. I'm really getting tired of...
I know, but I had to fucking get it off my list.
How about we do no more subtitles for 2025? We only got a couple months left.
We only got three more reviews to do this month. Maybe we do those last three without any subtitles.
I don't have any more in my bucket with subtitles.
All right, well let's go through our five categories here, and let's start off with visuals. It was a mixed bag, because I'll say the practical effects, like the rotting kid, the There's a couple elements there that were practical effects. That
the wife scene
was pretty good. But then there were some scenes that were all, you know, like the creatures that were a little wonky.
Yeah.
Like they weren't that low budget. It would have helped to have a little more there, or at least blend some practical with that digital.
Yeah, maybe like you said, that at the time they didn't have the budget to do that.
Yeah, and
it's from Argentina, so I don't know what kind of budget they get.
It looks like a portion of the film was sponsored by the Argentinian film industry.
Okay, and the guy, Jahan or whatever his name was, when he got glass in his eyes, that was pretty bad. That wasn't.
Yeah.
You could tell it was like glued on stuff over his eyeballs. And the blood, there was one blood scene where it was like smeared on cabinets and it was just a weird shade of red.
It was like old school, like 80s horror movie. And it was like almost red.
Pink. Yeah. I was like,
It was like the old red latex paint look.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
I gave it a 3 for visuals because, like you said, it's a mixed bag. There was some good stuff and some.
Yeah, meh. I think 3 is fitting for it. Yeah.
It's fair. Yep.
Okay, so we'll give that a 3. All right. And then let's take a look at the sound design. The sound design was pretty good. There was
I thought the use of sound in it was really good.
Yeah, really good. Well-defined sounds. Sounds that would even make you go, ooh, that's kind of fucking creepy. Like when she was here, in the very beginning, when she's listening to those voices in the dream, I'm like, oh, that's fucking weird and creepy.
Yeah.
That was pretty well done. I'm going to say 3.5 at least from me.
3.5 on
that. I gave sound a 5. I thought the sound was for me, like, really helped that movie along. Like it helped to build the atmosphere for that movie and the jump scares.
Craig,
I had a 4 written down.
All right, let's go with let's go with a 4. Okay, and let's take a look at the acting in this film. I thought the acting was pretty good. I mean, for the most part, most of those guys were pretty good. There were some that were like, eh.
Yeah, like the kid's mom, like who
yeah,
like for a grieving mom, I didn't.
Yeah.
My problem though is like, and I have this problem every time with subtitled films is like because it's subtitled, I don't know, like,
yeah, you can't pay attention to their facial expressions sometimes. And,
so that usually knocks it down for me, just the hair, because, you know, I can't.
But I was conscious of that, and I did just try to focus on some of the acting.
I think the main cop, the one that had the heart attack, he was pretty good. Like,
I thought
a very believable character.
For sure.
You could tell the anguish that he was going through, like not wanting to be there at that event, not wanting to have to be at those houses, trying to tell his guys, like, get out of there now. Just get out of there. And he's like, oh, the neighbor across the street, the doctor, he looks kind of weird. I think I see him. He's outside the house. He's like, no, get out of there. Leave now. It's an order.
Yeah, he was probably the best, I think, out of all of
them. Yeah.
I gave it a 3.
I had a 3.5.
Yeah. 3 sounds good. All right. 3 it is. All right. The overall story. I thought the story was pretty intriguing. It's one of those things. It's like, all right. It's like a group of houses is like the nexus of universes and crossing dimensions and these beings coming through. And then you have paranormal investigators there to check it out. And they really didn't go into detail with that woman, that thing that she had that like was
not at all
something
or why they any of them did any of the stuff they did. Like he set up those like glass jars and stuff and like
but
I guess you're just supposed to know that, or maybe if you're in Argentina, like that stuff is like, you know, if you're into that kind of shit.
I think the execution of some of those elements was poor, but I think the overall arching, the whole story concept that was kind of played out here was really intriguing. I thought it was pretty good. In my opinion, I would give the story at least a 4.
That's what I hit.
I gave it a 3. Again, I thought it was good. There was some plot issues that I had with just not enough explanation as to stuff, but I liked it.
Let's give it a 3.5 then, right there in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Okay, and then let's see, what about the fun fear factor of this film?
I thought it was a creepy film. Like I said before, you felt a dread from the jump. Like, you know, like that lady staring in her sink and stuff, and telling her husband,
"Was creepy, man. That boy was creepy."
Dude, I sat there like staring at that boy, waiting for him to move, because they're like, they said they saw him move, and I'm like,
yeah,
did he at all? Did he move at all?
I know. Like, I know. I was like, eesh.
And then they're waiting for it. They turn away, and all of a sudden, that glass of milk gets knocked over. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
And then when his little friend comes to the side window and he's like tapping on the window, and then he starts turning his head.
Yeah,
I was like, all right, yep, yep.
Yeah, there was some good stuff about that movie. I gave it a 4.
That's good. Yeah,
I had a 4.
4 is good. All right.
I thought, especially because of the runtime, because it wasn't a long film. Like, there was enough in there that kept me interested. Like, I didn't look at my watch at all, or you know, and. Yep.
Okay, so it looks like, doing the calculations in my spreadsheet here, we have visuals a 3, sound design a 4, acting a 3, story 3.5, fun fair 4, with an overall rating of 3.5 for Terrified.
That's about right.
Sounds about good to me.
Yeah.
Did you look at, like, Rotten Tomatoes or...
No.
Yeah, on Rotten Tomatoes, this movie got a 68% popcorn meter and an 83% tomato meter.
Okay, so that's...
Tomato meter is the pro reviewers, and the popcorn meter, the 68%, is by viewers. So
it's about 3.5, 4-ish.
Yeah, it seems pretty good to me, yeah. We're kind of agreeing on where the rest of the mass is.
IMBD gave it a 6.5, which is pretty strong.
Well, like I said, the 83% tomato meter. So it seems like people that are professional reviewers seem to find they like this film quite a bit.
You know, on IMBD, anything over a 6, because I watch movies.
Yeah.
And anything over a 6 from IMBD is usually pretty solid. Yeah.
Like I said, and this guy's, I think it was his first film. And then he went on to do that When Evil Lurks, which was, you know, again, I thought was an amazing film. So he honed his craft between the two.
Yeah, the old hatchet scene. That was a good one.
Ugh, dude, the that bloated fat guy, like when they have to get him back into the truck. Or when the Rottweiler like grabs that fucking kid.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
I know, it was a crazy movie. It's a crazy movie.
All right. Well, here we are wrapping up another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. As always, thank you for listening. We do this little thing to entertain ourselves, but we really appreciate listeners. Let me find my little notes here. So we'll wrap this one up. But once again, saying, you know, reach out to us. Let us know if you want a top 5 list or a movie to review. You can email us at feedback@the-american-nightmare.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 1-562-247-5855. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know what you think of our reviews. If you agree, if you disagree, top 5 lists you'd like us to talk about, or a movie you'd like us to review. And as always, check us out on Letterboxd. We have all of the movies that we have reviewed up there. And the account is Tan Podcast, T-A-N Podcast. Find us up there and see our reviews. All right. Thanks, everybody. And you'll hear from us next month.
Yep. Peace out.
Thanks.
Spooky month next month.